Have you ever pulled off a headset after a four-hour cross-country and realized your ears were ringing, your neck was sore, and you'd been shouting at your passenger for the last 100 miles? I'm Vector on Clear Direct Radio Hangar, and today we're doing something a little different. We're reviewing a piece of equipment that touches your head for every single minute you fly. The Bose A30 Aviation Headset. Now I know what some of you are thinking. It's a headset, Vector. You put it on, it cancels noise, you talk, you listen. What's there to analyze? Turns out quite a lot, because inside this thing is a genuinely fascinating engineering story about how you take one of the loudest environments a human regularly sits in, a piston aircraft cockpit pushing 90 to 100 decibels, and make it quiet enough to hold a normal conversation, and the choices Bose made with the A30 tell us something important about where aviation wearables are heading. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down, starting with what noise cancellation actually is, because most pilots I talk to use the term but don't really understand the mechanism. There are two kinds of noise reduction in any aviation headset, passive and active. Passive noise reduction is the simple stuff. It's the physical clamp of the ear cups against your skull, the foam and gel in the ear seals, the density of the materials blocking sound waves from reaching your eardrum. Every headset does this, from a $50 David Clark H1013 to a $2,500 Bose. You're basically building a wall between the noise and your ear canal. Passive reduction typically knocks off about 20 to 25 decibels depending on the headset and how well it seals. Active noise cancellation, or ANC, is where the engineering gets interesting. The concept has been around since the 1930s. Believe it or not, a physicist named Paul Luhig filed a patent in 1933, describing the basic idea. You sample the incoming sound wave with a microphone, you generate an inverse wave, a sound wave that is 180 degrees out of phase, and you play it through the speaker. The peaks of one wave line up with the valleys of the other. They cancel. Destructive interference. Physics does the work for you. In theory, perfect cancellation eliminates the noise entirely. In practice, it doesn't work that way, and the reasons why are what separate a mediocre headset from a great one. Here's what most people miss. Active noise cancellation works best on low frequency, steady-state noise. That's the drone of your engine, the rumble of the exhaust, the constant aerodynamic roar of air flowing over the airframe. These are predictable, repetitive sound waves. The processor inside the headset can sample them, compute the inverse, and play it back in real time with enough accuracy to knock them down significantly. What ANC struggles with is high frequency, transient noise, a sudden bang, a sharp radio squelch, the crinkle of a chart, your passenger sneezing. These sounds change too fast for the processor to react. By the time it computes the inverse wave, the original sound has already reached your ear. So every ANC headset is really doing a combination job. Active cancellation handles the low-frequency drone, passive attenuation handles the highs, and the overall experience depends on how well both systems are tuned. The Bose A30, which replaced the legendary A20 in 2023, makes some specific engineering choices that are worth examining. First, the weight. The A30 comes in at just under 7 ounces. For context, a David Clark H1013, which is the standard passive headset that has been in cockpits since most of us learned to fly, weighs about 23 ounces. That's more than 3 times heavier. The Bose is using lightweight composite materials, thinner headband springs, and smaller ear cup housings. You feel the difference within the first 10 minutes of wearing it, and you really feel it after hour 3. But lighter isn't automatically better if it compromises clamping force. And clamping force matters because that's your passive seal. If the ear cups don't press firmly enough against your head, outside noise leaks in around the edges, and your active system has to work harder to compensate. Bose solved this by redesigning the ear seal geometry. The A30 uses what they call a proprietary cushion design with a slightly different contact surface than the A20. It's a wider, flatter seal that distributes pressure more evenly. Less hot spots on your skull, but still enough compression to maintain acoustic isolation. Now let's talk about the active system itself. The A30 uses what Bose describes as 3 modes of noise cancellation. They call them low, medium, and high. But what's actually happening under the hood is the processor is adjusting the aggressiveness of the inverse wave generation. In high mode, it's sampling more frequently, computing faster, and generating a stronger cancellation signal. In low mode, it backs off. Why would you ever want less cancellation? Two reasons. First, some pilots report a feeling of pressure or discomfort with aggressive ANC. This is a real phenomenon. When you cancel low-frequency sound waves, your brain still receives the vibration through bone conduction, through your chest cavity, through the seat. Your auditory system is getting conflicting information. Your ears say it's quiet, but your body says it's loud. Some people find this disorienting, almost like a mild barotrauma sensation. Backing off the ANC reduces that perceptual conflict. Second, in certain flying environments, you actually want to hear some of the ambient noise. If you're flying a helicopter, the rotor frequency contains information. Changes in that frequency tell you about rotor speed and load. A flight instructor doing pattern work in a Cessna 152 might want to hear the engine note change during power transitions. Total silence isn't always the goal. The A30 also introduced something Bose calls their custom-tuned active equalization. This is separate from the noise cancellation. It's processing applied to the audio signals coming through the headset, your radios, your intercom, your music, if you're running an aux input. The idea is to shape the frequency response of what you're hearing to compensate for whatever residual noise the ANC doesn't eliminate. If there's still a low hum getting through, the EQ boosts the mid-range frequencies where human speech lives, so the controller's voice cuts through more clearly without just being louder. This is actually clever engineering. Most headsets handle the noise problem and the communication problem as separate systems. The A30 treats them as one integrated signal processing chain. What's the noise floor after cancellation? What frequency bands still have energy? Now shape the audio to sit above that floor with maximum intelligibility. It's a systems approach, and as someone who thinks in systems, I appreciate it. Let me give you some real numbers, because I know you want them. Bose doesn't publish exact decibel reduction figures, which frustrates engineers like me, but independent testing by aviation publications and audiologists has measured the A30 at roughly 30 to 35 decibels of total noise reduction when you combine the passive and active components. Compare that to a passive David Clark, which typically measures around 22 to 24 decibels. That 10 to 12 decibel difference might not sound like much, but remember, decibels are logarithmic. A 10 decibel reduction means the perceived loudness is roughly cut in half. So the A30 is making your cockpit sound about half as loud as a traditional passive headset does. Over a 2-hour flight, that difference translates directly into less fatigue. There's solid research on this. Noise-induced fatigue is a real physiological response. Your body treats sustained loud noise as a stressor. Cortisol levels rise, cognitive performance degrades. Reaction time slows. The FAA's own research, published through the Civil Aerospace Medical Institute, has documented measurable decrements in pilot performance correlated with cockpit noise exposure. Wearing a better headset isn't just about comfort. It's about decision-making at hour 4 of a long flight. Now, let's be honest about the trade-offs, because nothing is perfect. Price. The A30 retails for around $1,395 for the dual-plug general aviation version. The panel-powered version and the helicopter version are priced similarly. That is a significant investment. You can buy a perfectly functional passive headset for $200. You can buy a good ANR headset from Lightspeed, the Zulu 3 or the Delta Zulu, for $900 to $1,100. So you're paying a premium for the Bose name and for what is admittedly best-in-class noise cancellation. Is it worth it? The data tells an interesting story. If you fly 50 hours a year, that $1,300 headset costs you about $26 per hour of use over a conservative 5-year lifespan. If you fly 200 hours a year, it drops to under $7 per hour over the same period. For the amount of time this thing is on your head and the measurable impact on fatigue, that math starts to look pretty reasonable for anyone flying regularly. Battery life. The A30 runs on 2 AAA batteries and gets about 45 hours of use, which is a significant improvement over the A20's roughly 40 hours. But here's the thing, if your batteries die, you lose the active noise cancellation entirely. The headset still works as a passive headset, but you go from 35 decibels of reduction back down to roughly 15 to 18. That's a dramatic change in the middle of a flight. Bose added a low battery indicator, but you should still carry spares, always. Bluetooth. The A30 has Bluetooth 5.1 connectivity, which lets you pair it with your phone or tablet for music, phone calls, or for flight audio alerts. It works well, and the audio mixing is smooth. You can listen to music at low volume under ATC communications, and the headset intelligently ducks the music when radio traffic comes through. But some pilots, and I'm one of them, have a philosophical concern about adding more audio distractions to the cockpit. Just because you can stream a podcast while shooting an approach doesn't mean you should. That's a human factors question, not an engineering one, but it's worth raising. Durability. The lighter materials that make the A30 comfortable also make it feel more delicate than a David Clark. I know pilots who've hung their H-1013s on the prop of a Cessna overnight, dropped them on concrete, left them in Arizona sun for a decade, and they still work fine. The A30 demands more care. The ear seals will degrade faster if exposed to sweat and oils. The headband can crack if overbent. You should use the carrying case. You should replace the ear cushions annually if you fly a lot. These aren't defects. They're the reality of lightweight construction. There's one more thing I want to address, and this is where we shift from product review into industry analysis. The A30 represents a broader trend in aviation, the consumerization of cockpit equipment. 20 years ago, aviation headsets were industrial products. They were built by companies that only made aviation equipment, sold through aviation-specific channels, and designed with purely functional priorities. Comfort was secondary. Aesthetics were irrelevant. Then Bose, a consumer electronics company, entered the market with the Aviation Headset X in 1998 and fundamentally changed what pilots expected from the thing on their heads. Today, the aviation headset market is dominated by companies that borrow heavily from consumer technology. Bose's noise cancellation algorithms come from their consumer headphone division. Lightspeed's Delta Zulu includes a carbon monoxide detector, which is a brilliant integration of sensor technology from outside aviation. Even David Clark has launched the One X, a more consumer-styled ANR headset. This consumerization brings real benefits. Better user experience, faster innovation cycles, lower costs through shared technology platforms. But it also raises questions about certification and standards. Aviation headsets are not TSO'd, which means they're not certified by the FAA the way avionics are. There is no technical standard order that a headset must meet. There's a voluntary industry standard, RTCA DO2114, that covers headset audio performance, but compliance is optional. The headset protecting your hearing and delivering the clearance that keeps you separated from traffic has less regulatory oversight than the light bulb illuminating your panel. Is that a problem? Maybe. The industry has generally self-regulated well here. The major manufacturers all build to high standards. But as the market grows and cheaper ANR headsets flood in from overseas manufacturers, the lack of a mandatory certification standard is something worth watching. Let me wrap up with my honest assessment. The Bose A30 is the best active noise reduction headset available for general aviation pilots right now. The noise cancellation is measurably superior. The comfort over long flights is genuinely life-changing if you're coming from a passive headset. The audio quality is excellent. The Bluetooth integration is well executed. But it's not the only good option. The Lightspeed Delta Zulu gives you about 90% of the noise cancellation performance for several hundred dollars less and throws in that carbon monoxide sensor, which could literally save your life. The David Clark One X is a solid mid-range ANR option from the company that has been protecting pilot hearing since 1975. And honestly, a well-fitting passive headset still works just fine for local flying and short cross-countries. You don't need to spend $1,300 to be a safe pilot. What the A30 really represents is a proof of concept. It proves that signal processing, materials science, and systems integration can fundamentally change the pilot's physical experience of flying. And that same engineering philosophy is coming to everything else in the cockpit. Avionics that anticipate what you need, displays that adapt to conditions, seats that monitor your fatigue. The headset is just the first wearable in what will eventually be a fully integrated cockpit ecosystem. The main sources for today's segment come from Bose's published engineering white papers, independent testing by Aviation Consumer Magazine, and noise exposure research from the FAA's Civil Aerospace Medical Institute. You can find links and more at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector, go fly something, and take care of your ears while you do it.